I now schedule Catherine's weekly sessions at the end of the day because they were lasting several hours. When she came in the following week, she still had that peaceful look about her. She had talked with her father on the phone. Without giving him any details, she had, in her way, forgiven him. I had never seen her this serene. I marveled at the rapidity of her progress. It was rare for a patient with such chronic, deep-seated anxieties and fears to improve so dramatically. "I have a question to ask," I said, the next time she was resting in the peaceful light that comes between lives.
"Of whom?"
"Somebody. You or the masters," I hedged. "I think the understanding of this will help us. The question is this. Do we choose the times and the manner of our birth and our death? Can we choose our situation? Can we choose the time of our passing over? I think understanding that will ease your fears. Is there anyone there who can answer that question?" The room felt cold. When Catherine spoke again, her voice was deeper and more resonant. It was a voice I had never heard before. It was the voice of a poet.
"Yes, we choose when we will come back into our physical state and when we will leave. We know when we have accomplished what we were sent down here to accomplish. We know when the time is up, and you will accept your death. For you know that you can get nothing more out of this lifetime. When you have had the time to rest and re-energize your soul, you are allowed to choose your re-entry back into the physical state. Those people who hesitate, who are not sure of their return here, they might lose the chance that was given them, a chance to fulfill what they must when they're in the physical state."
I knew immediately and completely that this was not Catherine speaking. "Who is speaking to me?" I implored. "Who is talking?" Catherine answered in her familiar soft whisper.
"I don't know. Somebody who controls things, but I don't know who it is. I can only hear his voice and try to tell you what he says."
Catherine also knew that this knowledge was not coming from herself, not from the subconscious, nor from the unconscious, not even her superconscious self. She was somehow listening to, then conveying to me, the words or thoughts of someone very special, someone who controls things. Thus another master had appeared, different from the one or several from whom the previous wisdom-laden messages had come. This was a new spirit, with a characteristic voice and style, poetic and serene. This was a master who spoke about death without any hesitation, yet whose voice and thoughts were steeped with love. The love felt warm and real, yet detached and universal. It felt blissful, yet not smothering or emotional or binding. It relayed a feeling of loving detachment or detached loving kindness, and it felt distantly familiar. "What should you do, and I do, to make ourselves better?" I asked Catherine. "Are our paths the same?" The answer came from the master who had spoken earlier of intuitive powers and of returning from comas. The voice, the style, the tone were all different from both Catherine's and from the masculine, poetic master who had just spoken.